Good evening, everyone. I call the October 7th, 2024 City Council meeting to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. McAllister.
Here.
Mr. Foley.
Here.
Mr. Gephardt. Mr. Howe.
Here.
Mr. Lattiser.
Here.
Mr. McElroy.
Yeah.
Mr. Ricks.
Here.
Mr. Sinapi.
Here.
Ms. Travis.
Here.
Nine present.
Thank you. Councilwoman Travis, please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States. For which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bomb bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Good evening again. We're now under general communications. This is the announcements of congratulations, condolences, or community events. I have one. I'd like to ask everyone for a moment of silence for Chris Porcelli, who passed away recently, a longtime Warwick resident, involved him and his family involved in a lot of Warwick community groups and events. So if we could have a moment of silence for him. Thank you. Are there any other council members have anything under general communications? Councilwoman Travis.
I also have a moment of silence for Joseph Joe the Barber LaQuali. Joe has, he ran and he owned his the barber shop for over 60 years. His father had it before that. And I believe it's probably the oldest business still in Oakland Beach. And I've been a long time friend of the family since I was a teenager, so we've known them very well. People actually stood in line there for over 2.5 hours for his wake. Sad for the community.
Thank you, Councilwoman. So we'll have a moment of silence. Thank you. Anybody else? Councilwoman, are you all set? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would also like to ask for a moment of silence for another Warwick individual. Just recently found out he had passed. This individual was very active in community affairs, had presented before the city council and other councils for very many, many years, and that is Mr. Phil DeCall. He had passed away at some point earlier, and it was just brought to my attention recently.
I did not know that. Thank you for letting us know. So we'll do a moment of silence. Thank you. Any other members of the council have anything under general communications? Okay, hearing none, we'll move to executive communications. There are none. A is the acceptance of the minutes from the council meeting held on September 16th. Councilman Howe?
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. There are a few announcements of appointments. Number one, announcement of appointments to the Planning Board. Councilman Gephardt.
Sorry, give me a moment. All right, here we go. Tammy Bouchard Baker to the Planning Board.
Thank you. And then there are three, and these are appointments that do not require
Correct.
Confirmation. And the Harbor Management Commission, Councilman Gephardt.
Olivia Cabral, Ward 1. John Dickerson, Ward 7. Michael Jarbo, Ward 1.
Thank you. At this time, I'm going to ask my colleagues, is there any objections to moving item number one under unfinished business, PCO 8-24, to the top of the agenda and take that up at this time? Is there any objections from members of the council? Hearing none, we will now take up PCO 8-24 in order of abandonment of portions of Strawberry Field Road. This is for second passage. We will have public comment on this as it did not go through committee. Councilman Ricks.
Move to hear PCO 8-24.
Thank you. So why don't we get a recommendation to start us off for second passage. Councilman Howe.
Respectfully request second favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. Okay, it's been moved and second. So now we will begin discussions here on this. So again, now we're taking up PCO 8-24. This is for second passage. I believe we're all aware of this. This is the third time that it's been presented to the council. We've had a number of hours of good debate and discussion on this. So we want to open it up. Are there any members of the council that have any questions or comments at this time? Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to go on record as saying for the last month, as the purpose of delaying a month of second passage is to address any concerns and issues. I've received zero phone calls from my colleagues. I've received no questions. And there's been no concerns brought to my attention after the previous concerns and discussions brought. So I thank my colleagues and look forward to a second passage for the community of Strawberry Field West. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Howe. Any other questions or comments? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm going to request clarification on this because my understanding was this was a continuation of the public hearing that we recently had.
Solicitor Walters. I mean, I can answer it.
Councilman, PCO 824 was initially heard at the August 19th meeting for first passage public hearing. At that time, the item was continued for first passage to the September 4th meeting. At the September 4th meeting, the council voted favorable action for first passage by a vote of 6-2, one abstention, or one absent. Councilman Sinapi was absent. So first passage and the public hearing was achieved, and first passage was achieved. This item is before us for second passage. At the committee earlier this evening, the Public Properties Committee sent it along with no recommendation, but to take the public comment before the full body as we deliberate the second passage, and that's where we are at this point in the evening.
So on the September 4th meeting, was the public hearing closed?
Yes.
It was closed.
Yes. Councilman Foley moved it. It was seconded, and it went, the public hearing was closed by an 8-0 voice vote.
Okay.
Prior to the immediately preceding the passage vote, which passed 6-2.
All right. Thank you. I'll reserve my additional comments, Mr. President, until we hear from members of the public.
Okay. Councilman Gephardt.
Just one question. So I voted no on this in the 6-2. I was one of the two no votes. But there was mention, we haven't heard much from the residents around the area. There was mention that there was some sort of petition or list of signatures of folks that who are in support of it. So if we were able to see that, that may sway my vote in the other direction. So I'll leave my comments at that. Thank you.
I can forward. I did have a picture sent to me of that, but also please understand, Councilman, and to the, my colleagues, this went through the proper procedure of going before the planning board. There was a many public hearings through RIAC at the annex building. There were planning boards hearings. There were numerous public hearings that that the neighbors went to. And quite honestly, when it comes to the council, their attitude is we elect you to do this job and I'll do the job. And that's why I'm here supporting it. And the reason why you have not seen the citizens of that area come is because they understand that this is a berm to protect the neighborhood from a cargo facility that we have no say in. The cargo facility is, correction, let me withdraw that. They understand that we are abandoning roads that are that are in an area that the airport owns to be able to build this berm to protect the area and have that berm put up. And they, please be clear, they are not happy that there is a cargo facility going in the airport, but the airport owns the property and they are building that cargo facility. This is to abandon the road so we may build a berm to protect the residents of the neighborhood, as it was discussed through the entire one-year process to this point. So, but I will send you, I have it on right here, and I'll send you that copy. Thank you.
Councilman Ricks.
I'll just briefly state before this is opened up to public comment, and then after this statement, I'll reserve my remaining time. I received a couple of phone calls this afternoon that made certain allegations about this plan. Obviously, allegations of any nature, of anything being misleading or the like, is of great concern to me. But they are also allegations of a nature where one would expect that there can be objective evidence. One would expect for that to be produced. So for me to lend credibility to any of that, especially at this stage, after all of the steps that this has gone through, after I know that Councilman Howe, he has done his due diligence on this matter, after the city administration and the planning department have done their due diligence on this matter, in addition to the planning board. If I'm going to be influenced by those types of allegations as to this plan, then I'm going to need to see evidence of it as opposed to last minute phone calls. I'm not going to simply vote to hold or vote to deny something based on what one or two people are saying. This is why we have this whole very long process, including that 1 month between first and second passage. If there's an opportunity, if there is that additional type of information, evidence to be presented, this is why we provide a full month. So while I am and can be sympathetic to some items coming before us at rather the last minute. This is a bit of a different nature. So I do anticipate that we may hear a little bit more about that, but I'll leave that for the members of the public who may want to discuss that. And I'll just put that forward as that's really the standard that I hold here this evening, is if there are new allegations coming in front of us, I want to see some evidence. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments from members of the council? Any questions or comments from members of the public on PCO 8-24?
Richard Langseth, Bud Long Farm Road in Warwick. I'd like everybody to note that the requester is not public, it is not here. The airport corporation decided not to show up. They're not here to answer any questions. And I appreciate Mr. Ricks's point. I wasn't aware that we needed to present beforehand. I thought that the second passage was a kind of a new revelation that we were going to go through the same steps that we went through the first passage, but maybe I'm wrong. The main problem that we have is that the berm is not complete. The berm is washing away. The RIDEM has a complaint in hand. They haven't seeded it. They haven't done anything to protect it, and it's washing into the storm drain. This is a $4 million project that RIAC has decided to fund on its own. It has no money to do this. The FAA has denied them the money, the AIP money, and they have decided not to float a bond. They have no funds. So if you go down to Strawberry Field, you'll see a berm washing away. This is a $4 million contract that some contractor got the rights to do, and they never finished the work because they weren't paid. I don't know. It would be far better if RIAC were here to answer questions like this. These are not allegations. This is what you see when you go over there. In addition, I have received an answer to a complaint that I filed with the Attorney General between the time of the first passage and the second passage. And what that says is that the chief counsel for the Rhode Island Airport Corporation says that the roundabout, which is an integral part of this, is not on RIAC property. It's on the state highway. She admitted this after 2 years of my getting to try to get her to do it. She finally put it in writing to the Attorney General that they don't even own the property. Now that's a $20 million build that they have no money for. So what I would suggest to the council is that if you want to move forward with this, definitely put a provision in the deed itself, that if they don't build these things, the property comes back. I think that's reasonable. I think that any experienced person would know that when you're selling something with the provision that somebody's going to do something, you put it in the deed. This is a common business practice. Now, if that's too difficult to do tonight, especially because RIAC's not even here, continue it. Do some investigation. Because we don't want to give away what we're calling a people's park for some promise that RIAC has made that they don't even show up for, number one. And number two, they don't have any money to do it with. Now I apologize for not putting this in writing beforehand, but I thought that we were going through this process in Nova, a whole new process over and over again, but I could be wrong. But I really think we need to be reasonable about this. Why aren't these people here? Why didn't they finish the berm? Why are they proposing a roundabout that we all know is on a state highway? And if they were here, I'd ask some questions, but they're not even here. Now there's a professional engineer, Don Miniker, who wrote to the FAA in an email on August 4th, 2023, and said that the roundabout will be on airport property. That's not true. Her legal counsel the next year wrote saying the roundabout's not on airport property to the Attorney General in a sworn statement. This is not hearsay. This is sworn testimony to the Attorney General of the state of Rhode Island. So I would just urge you to be cautious. Think for a minute. Where is RIAC? Why aren't they here? This whole thing is a farce. They don't have the money. The reason why they don't have the money is because I demanded that they have a public hearing for the private activity bond. And when I made that to the RIAC board, they turned purple. They said, what do you need? What do you mean a public hearing? I said, that's the law. You need a public hearing. And then the next month they turned around and they said, oh, we're not going to do the bond anyway. We're just going to take it out of pocket. And they can't do that. And I really appreciate your indulgence over all these months. But you know what? This is a very important thing for the city of Warwick. We have a 20-acre piece of land that's absolutely wonderful. The people are using it for all kinds of parks and recreation purposes. It doesn't matter whether the airport owns it or not. The airport's part of the government. So what? They're not a private entity. They own some property. The property's public unless it becomes private through use. It's a farce. And I really, I'm losing my patience too. And I really think we need to think twice about this. And if anybody has any questions about this, I'm perfectly willing to answer them. And I'm perfectly willing to present this stuff in writing if that's what it takes. But of course, it's going to take a continuation at this point. And by the way, what's the rush? These people are not even here. They don't have any money to build it. They're not building it. They have a $4 million contract to build a wall. Where's the wall? On the north side of Strawberry Field Road, there's no reason why they hadn't finished that. And that's what's needed. If anything's needed, the berm is needed on the north side of Strawberry Field Road. They don't need it down in the strawberry fields. There's nothing down there for the berm to stop the noise off of. The facility's on the other side of Strawberry Field Road. So maybe what you should do is write them a note saying, how come you haven't built the berm north of Strawberry Field Road? They had a $4 million contract to do it. And where is it? They took the trucks and drove away. You know, at some point, we have to say that there's a little lack of credibility here. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else that would like to speak on PCO 8-24?
Good evening, council people. This is Michelle Comar, Ward 1. And I too had some questions for RIAC that I asked last public hearing that were not answered. We knew from testimony from RIAC through answering questions that FAA is not funding the berm. But I asked, well, what funding sources are they using? Never got an answer. It's unknown if they have the funds. We heard through testimony from our planning director that the berm doesn't conform to existing zoning, which is residential. It doesn't comply with our existing zoning. I would have asked RIAC too, which we heard through testimony, that this only reduces the noise by 1 to 4 decibels. And that doesn't maybe put it in context of what are the decibels that these people are exposed to. I'm just going by my memory that noise acquisitions, the threshold is 65 decibels. So from 65 decibels, maybe they're 64 and under, they only get a 1 to 4 decibel decrease with the berm, hardly called a berm for noise mitigation. And I wonder if the residents really realize how little protection this berm does afford. So RIAC's not here, I think there are questions that are still outstanding, and I hope the council continues this second passage until RIAC shows up, showing that this is an important project to them, and they're here to answer questions. Meanwhile, the city has not hired an appraiser to look at what this property value is worth, and that's to protect the city's finances, budget, and what the taxpayers have been subsidizing RIAC and the State International Airport for decades. And I think we deserve a fair and marketable, fair market price on this property to be assessed by the city's appraiser, hired by them and paid by the city. Not just some quick check that was done by the city, and not go by RIAC's figures and their hired appraiser. You wouldn't do that for your house. You'd hire your own independent appraiser. So the Warwick taxpayers have been subsidizing a state airport for decades. We've had property acquisitions that RIAC has taken for noise, and we lost that tax revenue year after year. And also those incremental increases that we would have gained as taxes. So taxpayers had to make up the difference to balance our increasing budget every year. We also, on the taxpayers' dollar, provide police, fire, and rescue services to the airport. We get nothing in return. The $500,000 that RIAC was paying the city, RIAC has ceased to pay. So taxpayers subsidize the airport for police, fire, and rescue protection. There is no mutual aid. RIAC can't leave their post at the airport and come out and run to a private residence to provide rescue or police or fire service. That doesn't happen. So we're not getting compensated for our police, fire, and rescue services. So all this is on the taxpayers' back. And it's discouraging to hear the council do business like you wouldn't do your own home business in selling your property and not getting an outside appraisal that you pay for. Not a friendly handshake or can you just catch somebody in the hallway and get an opinion. There's no appraisal that the city did. If the land trust were before you, for the city to accept property or buy property, need a property survey. Is there phase one, phase two assessment needed? We have to close any right of redemptions. There's all steps to be taken that aren't skipped. But this step was skipped here before the city council and not hiring an independent appraiser that the city and the taxpayers were paying for their interest, to look out for their interest. So I do have extra questions for RIAC. They're not here today. I ask that the council continue this second passage until they can be present. And also I request that the city do their own independent appraisal on the property's value. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other members of the public that would like to speak on PCO 8-24?
Good evening, friends and neighbors. Jim Italiani, Ward 6. So we've talked about this a number of times. I've been to nearly half a dozen meetings on this matter. And I know that there are some powers that be that want to get this resolved, basically at all cost. But there's some unresolved issues. Last time we had the discussion here about noise, the council president didn't allow me to continue speaking because I had spoken before, but on a different subject, which I said, dear friends, that I am an audiopressologist. This is in my scope of practice. What we were told from RIAC, by their own admission, is that the berm was not going to protect the people from all the noise and the pollution. That is certainly doable, but we have to make sure that they do and plan it and fund it right. That does not mean that we approve it now. The other thing, dear friends, again, is their certified appraiser that talked here a couple meetings ago, who had more credentials than half of Boston College, admitted that the bid that he bid the land next to this international airport was based on property next to a single uncontrolled field. And nobody in this room even questioned, how could you come up with such a faux pas? Again, you can't approve a bid based on such faulty comparisons. We have a berm that's coming apart that's underfunded. Why are we allowing? Why would we even think about passing this without being assured by RIAC in writing that these things to protect our citizens are going to be done, or we're going to take back the land? And as another member said, let's not get promises. Let's put it in the CC&Rs or put it in the deeds, and that cannot be done tonight. So, gentlemen, lady, it is your responsibility for we citizens that you do not pass this and you protect our needs. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Does anyone else from the public like to be heard on PCO 8-24 at this time?
How are you doing, Council? My name's Ron Hawkins. I'm in Ward 3. And I oppose PCO 824, and I've said that right along. I don't understand how a piece of land, first of all, that's zoned for residential can be given for heavy industrial development. This is zoned as residential. Doesn't the zoning have to be changed first anyway? A lot of questions that I have, a lot of them for RIAC. Of course, they're not here today. But I think the approval of this pretty much rubber stamps everything that they're doing over there. And I'm totally against the increase in air pollution, the noise pollution, the light pollution. And I've spoken to many of the residents over in the Strawberry Field West location, and they've mentioned a lot of concerns to me. Not everybody is on board with that, not even close. There are a couple that have said that they were okay with it just because of the berm, but that's ignorance. This berm is not going to do anything to help them in any three of those categories, and the FAA has already admitted that. The FAA has already admitted also that their air quality metrics in their 2024 symposium are flawed. We don't have the proper metrics. Rhode Island DEM has already done testing there, and it was over the cancel limits. How is politics more important than our children? You guys really, you know, you go home, most of you have kids. Don't you look at them? This is ridiculous. At least stay this until we can get further clarification from them, and we need to get stuff in writing from these people. They don't put it in writing. They've already duped us many times already. Look at the extension that they just built on Main Street. Okay, that was to take passengers across to California, longer service. That's a lot of BS. They just wanted the larger planes there because the smaller 300 series can take people there. It's got greater lift and it's got higher capacity. Come on, people. Give us more time to look at this and get things in writing at least, and maybe look at some other options. Not everybody is against this, but at least let's do it right. They've been duping us through the whole master plan process right along, okay? And the environmental assessments are questionable. Let's just do this right. You know, we all have to look at our kids at night. I come home, well, I'm retired now, but I come home at 5 o'clock, especially in the fall, in the winter, and it stinks. This is kerosene mist going up your nose. And kids are out there playing. You know, it's bad enough the way it is now, but making it worse is not making it better.
Thank you. Is anyone else from the public like to be heard on PCO 8-24? Any other members of the public like to be heard on PCO 8-24? Any other members of the public like to be heard on PCO 8-24? Any members of the council like to be heard on 8-24? Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. And I'd like to thank all the members of the public for their comments as well. I actually find it offensive that the Airport Corporation is not here in attendance this evening. And that is quite concerning. So I would ask, are they not here because they don't want to address any more questions? Are they not here because they just feel it's not necessary? The airport, ever since I was first elected, has come to us with all kinds of promises, starting with we're going to increase the gate from 3 million to 5 million in 3 years. If the city council approves the runway extension, this was a major to-do. We're going to increase the gate. We're going to increase revenue. We're going to do all these kind of things. Key is increase revenue. Well, they haven't done that. And here it is in 2024, and you heard them answer my question at one of the last meetings, their gate is still at 3.5 million. We've heard testimony this evening that they don't have the money to do this and they don't have the money to do that. Probably because they have not increased the gate no matter what they do, including taking over all the car rental lots and agencies. An example of the expense to the taxpayers for the city of Warwick providing emergency response services is one of the things we've recently had to deal with, which was tens of thousands of dollars that was spent on, I believe it was engine 13, when they were in an accident responding to an emergency at the airport. I didn't see RIAC come to the plate and say, Warwick, we're going to take care of this. We're going to compensate you for the $40,000 or $50,000. That's an expense that is being paid for by the trust, which is being paid for by the taxpayers. Councilman Ricks brought up some very good questions, which were circumvented by RIAC, and his questions were about terminals, storage cargo areas. And they did not answer that question. They circumvented it. They said, we have a 20-year plan. A 20-year plan of what? My prediction will be, just like not increasing the gate, my prediction will be in 5 years or so, you're going to see those structures going up. The request for provisions in the deed, should this group, this honorable body, decide to go forward with it, I think should be given careful consideration by the council and included in it. The question about the appraisers from the city doing an appraisal, I absolutely concur that we should have licensed appraisers, just like we are supposed to have for the revals, the property revals. You have licensed appraisers to do that. We should have a licensed appraiser that belongs or is hired by the city to do an appraisal on that property, and not take the appraisal from RIAC, who is the same organization that said, give us the runway, we're going to increase the gate to 5 million in 3 years. I don't hold a lot of confidence in RIAC's commitments or their performances since I've been sitting here on the city council. And because of all of these issues and because of them not being present here this evening and the perception of that lack of presence and the other issues that I have talked about, I will be maintaining a no vote on this item. For me, it's not necessarily disagreeing with the berm. For me, this is just a land power grab by the airport. My position is they've taken enough land, they've taken enough residential properties, and they have not compensated the city of Warwick for their takings. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Sinapi, did you have your hand up?
Yeah, just a quick blurb. So while I was here at the first meeting where this was held and discussed, I obviously wasn't here at the subsequent one where the first vote happened. I reviewed the materials, comments, and the meeting itself, which I was absent, and I'm confident I can participate in this discussion and vote on the matter accordingly. So just throwing that out there.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Ricks.
First, I'd like to say that I am, as opposed to anyone, against any new proposed cargo hangar or any sort of facility. I'm opposed to any additional cargo flights coming into the airport. We have a train station here in Warwick, right at that same location. Seems to me it should be just as convenient for UPS, FedEx, etc., to get cargo down through the train and less expensive. There are a lot of reasons to be opposed to these cargo planes coming in, which are going to be coming in at all hours and are noisier than passenger planes. But this item that's in front of us right now, whether we vote in favor of it or reject it, that cargo hangar and the like, that is going in there regardless. We have no control over that. So if I were to make a symbolic vote against the airport, it would be a symbolic vote. It wouldn't actually affect anything like that. What it would affect is the little bit, the something instead of nothing that the city and Councilman Howe negotiated, which is to benefit that neighborhood, which Councilman Howe has represented, that he has spoken with many neighbors there, and they prefer that berm to be there over nothing at all. It might have just very minimal reduction of sound. It certainly isn't going to do much of anything or nothing at all when the planes are overhead. It's not going to make the noise completely go away when the planes are on the other side of it either. But it's certainly going to help with the eyesore. And I do think that it's going to do something, not much, but something when it comes to the sound and the like from the other side. I'm not saying it's great, but it's something. And it is something that Councilman Howe has worked on, and I'm not exactly seeing any better proposed solutions here either to mitigate these effects for the neighbors. Again, I would love if the airport just backed away and didn't even attempt any of this ridiculous expansion. At first hearing, for the first passage, I spoke with the representatives of the airport and let them know that I view the airport as a black hole gobbling up homes and businesses, because we know that those homes and businesses, they don't just come back. Once they're sucked in, they don't return. I'll also say that I think of The term host, as in Warwick is the host city, as a relationship where some people like to think of the airport as a guest. Well, they're not. They're not. This is not a guest-host relationship. I view it more as a parasite-host relationship. I'm very well aware of what the airport has done to the city. And what it's done to the city is far more than what it's done for the city, especially with the whole recent $500,000 pilot. At the same time, I know that this particular piece of what's in front of us here this evening is also part of a larger agreement between the city and the airport, which will help to mitigate some of the effects of that cargo facility, including exactly how the trucks are routed. I'd actually heard a little bit over the phone, but have no evidence relative to a suggestion that the that trucking route to in which the trucks would be routed in a way that would interfere less with the city streets, that there was some sort of issue with that, but that's hearsay, and I hesitate to even bring that up because, again, I have not seen or been presented with any evidence, and we have certainly had a very long process here, and I would expect that if there were some issue with that component, we should be hearing about it. We should be seeing that evidence, and that's not something that I've seen. That's not something that's been presented to me or to any of us. So I come back to, this is something that the councilman for the area, he and the city had negotiated. He and the city support this. The residents of that area, they want something that's better than nothing. The majority of them, from my understanding of the representations, the majority of them would prefer something over nothing, and that seems very rational to me. There is very much a land use component to all of this, and as I said before, where it's a land use and it particularly affects one ward more than the others, and also, as this is something that the city had negotiated, for those reasons, I would tend to defer to the councilman for the area who negotiated this particular improvement on behalf of his constituents, and which those constituents are in favor of, and also recognize that this is something where the city most definitely has done its due diligence. There have been some questions raised about the appraisal. Well, this appraiser has done work for the city in the past. None of this is conclusive. I'd also like to have some, there's always a little bit more. And I found that as a lawyer in my profession, sometimes you always want that one little additional piece, whether that's some additional research, additional evidence, or the like. But at a certain point, you have to look at what's in front of you. And based on what's in front of me after this very long process, while I absolutely respect my colleagues who may vote no on this, based on these standards, what I've said before, and what I've seen this evening for second passage, while trying my best, of course, to keep an open mind to everything here, my vote is going to remain a yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Gephardt.
Thank you. Many of the sentiments of my colleagues are shared by myself. I've been here for all of the meetings on this particular topic. You may recall that you know, I raised in the first meeting the issue of the appraisal. Having been through some street abandonments, I had concerns about the appraised value. And so I was happy to see that we held it the first at the, after the first hearing. Subsequent to that, we did receive an extensive appraisal report, which I've had the opportunity to review. It is very thorough. I no longer have concerns about the appraisal itself. At the last meeting, I did vote no. I know we had some members of the public here in support. However, there was mention of a petition which never surfaced. So I was skeptical to support in the absence of that. I think that was an oversight in the time between then and now. I have received that petition with the support of, I wouldn't say a tremendous amount, but a number of neighbors, to the points that the councilman from Ward 2 raised. You know, typically in matters such as these, we will, you know, it is the council person's responsibility to be the voice of the people from their ward. And Councilman Howe certainly has, you know, gone to great lengths to try to solicit feedback from his residents, and is here representing them in the affirmative on this project. You know, I, along with Ms. Komar, remain skeptical, especially based on the testimony of one of the executives who was here last time, who stated, you know, that she was anticipating a 1 to 3 or something decibel improvement in noise mitigation, which really seems like not much. But that said, the question here before us is not do we think the mitigation is enough? Do we want the cargo terminal? We want the airport to expand? Do we like the airport? None of those are the question. The question is, are we going to abandon these streets? And as I consider that, you know, really it comes down to, you know, do we get a half-built berm with gaps in between where the city streets exist, or do we get a fully built berm that is supported by the neighbors, not all of whom support it? Obviously, we heard testimony from some neighbors here tonight who are opposed. But that is Councilman Howe's job, and the future councilman from Ward 3, whoever that should be, to work out those issues between the neighbors and what's represented here on the council. So having had my questions answered satisfactorily, I will support this evening. Not enthusiastically, but I think in support and solidarity with my colleague who's done his work on this, I will go along. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. So this has been moved and seconded. Councilman Howe, I'll give you last word.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to acknowledge, I did say that I was hoping Ward 3 residents would come out, and I see Mr. Hawkins and I believe his wife, Kim. Is that Kim? Hi, Kim. I want to make something very clear to the Hawkins family that's here from the neighborhood, that the airport announced they were going to build a cargo facility, and I'm going to get to what this is about, right next door to you. They own the property that is considered residential that these streets are on that we're asking for the abatements. They own that property. So it started a long debate between RIAC and the city where we asked them to move it to the airport side, which is the industrial. With all due respect, RIAC said no. So we said, okay, then we're not gonna, you know, there's no way that this is gonna work. You can stand on the neighbors' porches and smell the kerosene. I was really happy you mentioned that. You can smell the aviation fuel. It blows. Now add on blows into their porches. Add on the moving vehicles on airport property, and they want to use city roads as well. Well, they wanted to use city roads. You may have heard that the mayor and myself and the city, representing the city, went to debate with them about where they can put the roads, the rotaries, like where the trucks get off. We didn't want them on city streets. And the only idea we came up with, because they were going to build that cargo facility no matter what, doesn't matter, it's on our property, we're building it. It's kind of like that neighbor who builds that ugly shed. It's their property, they can do it. And it's the same thing. Now, let's also keep in mind that the RIAC is backed by the FAA. The RIAC is backed by the state. It's the Rhode Island Airport Corporation. So very simply put, we went and challenged some of that. They took away the $500,000 pilot money, and I hope Councilman Lattiser, I agree with everything you said. You're absolutely right. There's battles we have. But I hope you can acknowledge that whenever we put in for the increase in the pilot money, I sponsored that legislation to make RIAC pay more to address those issues. So this is not something where, understand, we're saying, oh, rats, shucks, they want to put something there. We fought it. The berm, which is what this is on, the abandonment of those roads to build that berm is something, anything, to protect the neighborhood, because RIAC has said adamantly they are building it right there. And shrug of shoulders. There's no nice way to say that. So I have no control over RIAC property, but I do have a say representing you, Kim, and your neighbors. So I said, is there anything we can do? And one of the things we requested was put a berm there. A statement was made that, yes, FAA said, no, the berm's not required. It'll be fine. We stuck to our comments. We stuck to our guns. And so therefore, RIAC is now paying, as you heard one of the speakers say, RIAC is now paying for the berm. If we do not abandon these streets, RIAC said, we'll still hold our word and we'll build the berm, but oh well, there'll be gaps. We just won't build where the streets are. So I just want to explain to you, Mr. Hawkins, I understand. I hear what you're saying. I've heard it. This is not in support of a cargo facility. This is not in support of RIAC. This is not giving RIAC something. This is RIAC paying for a berm, something, anything, to somehow protect that neighborhood. And I understand people have the feeling if I support this berm, this sound berm, I'm supporting that cargo facility. That's not the case. This berm, RIAC does not want to do it, because then RIAC doesn't have to put out over $1 million to build it. They don't want it. This is something we were able to get from RIAC, as well as the mayor fighting in his administration, to get them to build a rotary on airport property to keep those trucks that are delivering off our city roads that we just repaved. And we paid 10% we posted 10% to the state so they would pave post road for our citizens. So this has been a continuation of things. So I just wanted to explain that to you. I've been saying Ward 3, there were questions, Ward 3 residents. I want to thank my colleagues and you, Mr. President, for allowing me to have the minute to explain to the constituents who are here, who are affected, the reasoning for these abatements and what I was looking for and the purpose of it. Thank you.
Thank you. So before us, it's been moved for favorable action, and it's been second for second passage. The clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister.
Yes.
Mr. Foley. Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
No.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinappi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
8 yes, 1 no, second passage.
Thank you. Second passage.
Thank you, Mr. President, and all my colleagues.
Thank you. So going back, if you're following us on the agenda, we are going back to page 2. Which is appointments requiring confirmation. First up is the Historical Cemeteries Commission Committee Report Appointments.
Committee recommends favorable action on this appointment.
Okay, Ward 2, Councilman Ricks.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley, Councilwoman Travis, Councilman Lattiser, and Councilman Gephardt, and Councilman Howe. Any questions or comments I would not ask earlier this evening in committee? Hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action. Yes.
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 Thank you. Motion passes. Number three this evening is the consent calendar. First up is PCR 92-24, a resolution relative to bids. Committee report, finance.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. Thank you. Go ahead, Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Bid 2025-207, 2025-189 Alpha, 2025-170, 2025-199, 2025-194, 2025-216, 2025-196, 2025-195, 2025-169, 2025-209, 2025-180, 2024-271, 2025-189 Bravo, 2025-187, 2025-226, 2025-212, 2023-115, and 2023-152. Mr. President.
Thank you, Councilman. Are there any questions or comments that were not asked earlier this evening in committee? Okay. Number two on the consent calendar is PCR 93-24, resolution relative to abatements. Committee report, finance.
Move favorable action.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action in the amount of $9,788.35.
Second by Councilman Foley. Any questions or comments on PCR 93-24? Okay. Next up on the consent calendar is PCR 94-24, resolution relative to claims. Committee report, public safety.
Recommend favorable action.
For action, Councilman Foley.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Ricks. Go ahead, and Councilman McElroy. Go ahead, Councilman Foley.
First claim is for Karen Grabarian. Approved in the amount of $115.74. The next is Joanne Fiore, approved in the amount of $781. Jennifer McKenna, approved in the amount of $279.72. Next is Michael Paraso, approved in the amount of $214.14. Next is Robert Weldy, approved in the amount of $266.50. Next is Michael Antonelli, approved in the amount of $850. And then there's Ariana Petroselli, and that is, the motion is to deny.
I believe there's one more.
One more, yep, thank you. And the last one is Noel Shaughnessy, is to approve the amount of $300.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments on the public safety consent calendar that were not asked earlier this evening in committee? Okay, hearing none. Are there any questions or comments on the consent calendar as a whole? Hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt? Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes, consent passes.
Thank you, consent passes. I believe two items have been removed from the consent calendar. Councilman Howe?
Yes, Mr. President. Bid 2025-217 is now PCR 95-24. It was moved favorable action.
Okay, so you'll move it favorable. Is there a second? Second by Councilman Foley. Go ahead, Councilman Howe.
Mr. President, the bid 2025-217 repair and replace frame on engine 3 was it can move PCR 95-24 and voted favorable out of the committee.
Okay. Any questions or comments on this? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. During the committee, I had pointed out an error in the math on this item. I had requested an amendment to reflect the actual numbers, and that was denied by the Finance Committee. Makes no sense to me to continue approving bids where the numbers don't add up. To just arbitrarily say, it's okay, the numbers don't add up, it's only $104.
But yes.
Move on. That is not financially responsible to me. I don't believe anyone in this room would go anywheres and voluntarily pay $104 more for something than they should. And I don't see why we're treating these bids any different. The numbers are wrong. They need to be corrected. This isn't the first time, this isn't the second time, this isn't the third time that these errors in bids are just approved and let go. At some point, this needs to be corrected. I am going to make a motion to correct this number to what should be the number that the taxpayers will be responsible for, which is $377,376. That is what the number should be.
Second to the councilman's motion, second by Councilman Ricks. Can I just ask for that number again, Councilman?
$377,376.
And currently it states, what's the amount currently?
The current bid is $377,480.
Okay, Chairman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. That was determined for two reasons. One, first of all, for clarification, no one, not one person said on the committee, it's only $104, whatever. No one said that. That was not the thought. The discussion, the truth, the discussion that went on was there was a 20% where we are authorizing to spend up to. So the vehicle is going to be shipped to Wisconsin, have a new frame put on, and there are going to be other stuff done. If it doesn't reach that amount, and I can't believe I'm explaining this, if it doesn't reach that amount, they will be, it won't be that amount. They won't write the check for that amount. They are not writing for the check for over just $104. They are authorizing up to spend to that amount. If it comes back over, then we have to, they'll present it to us and we'll have to authorize to spend again. So the logistics of those numbers basically is not irrelevant, but not worth an amendment for the simple fact it is the authorization to spend to repair the equipment. The bigger picture is putting a new frame on a perfectly good fire truck. Thank you.
Mr. President.
Councilman Lattiser.
So if we want to take the time to listen to the tape, the reference to the $104 was absolutely made and it was denied to change it. And I hear what you're saying on the spending authority. This isn't about the spending authority. This is about accountability. This is about responsibility. This is about no one checking numbers. You add 20% onto something. This is math 101 for a third grade math student, and the numbers are coming up wrong. To just subjectively or arbitrarily say, let it go, or not say it, but still let it go, is wrong. This has happened many times over the past year or so, or maybe more. It has got to stop. There has to be accountability on the department heads that are presenting us with these requests. If you're telling us that 2 and 2 is 4, then it should be 4, not 6 or 5. And the monetary amount, 104, well, some folks might think that 104 is, you know, not such a big number. Well, it is a big number. Actually, for you to take 104 out of your pocket, you'd have to earn about 130. So this is about accountability. This is about coming to us with the numbers that add up. This is about someone double-checking information and numbers that are being provided to us so that we are voting on accurate stuff. And that is not the case here. And that has not been the case numerous times in the past. And it's time that we make sure that whatever it is you submit to us, if it doesn't add correctly, that we rectify it and vote on the appropriate number. This is something that needs to change going forward. Thank you.
Thank you. The administration is here. The chief, I'm sorry, I missed this earlier in finance. Do you have any dispute of the 104, the calculation? Is there any reason not to amend this? Is there any concern? Anything? I don't think it's on, Chief. No.
Hold on one sec, Chief.
Thank you. Chief Peter McMichael, I have no issue with that. As Councilman Howe pointed out, it's merely the spending authority up to that amount. I can't see how $100 is going to make a difference either way. Again, but we are not the, that was not our position paper. As you know, repairs are all handled through Public Works. So that would be a Public Works position paper. All of that information that you received was not from the fire department.
Thanks, Chief. So it looks like we, no one's disputing this. Councilman has his point. Understand what Councilman Howe is talking about with the spending authority. I think my position is let's just make it clean, add the 104 in on it. Everybody checks their stuff going forward. But I do want to thank the finance committee that put the work in, talked about this beforehand, and explained the actual process with the spending authority. But Councilman Lattiser, I will support your amendment just to get the clean slate and move this forward. Any other questions or comments from members of the council? Councilman Howe.
And for clarification, I have no problem supporting it. I just don't appreciate the we're kind of nonchalantly just saying it's only 104. That statement was not made. It was presented in a statement of original, but it was not made by this committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Howe. So amendment has been moved and seconded. So the clerk will call a roll for favorable action on the amendment, which is to add the $104.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes to amend.
Thank you. Councilman Lattiser, would like to move that favorable as amended?
Mr. President, before, all right, we'll move favorable and we'll still have discussion, right?
Yep.
Okay, move favorable as amended.
Second by, anyone who second that?
Councilman Foley.
Oh, sorry. Councilman Foley and Councilman Howe. Go ahead, Councilman Lattiser.
I will still be voting no on this item. I do not agree that it makes any sense to me to spend almost 50% or possibly 50% on a vehicle that all we're going to be getting is a new frame on a vehicle that, because we get a new frame, is going to last another 10 or 15 years or more. I think that this is not a good investment in comparison to purchasing a brand new everything for obviously more money, but to drought still being in a currently 13-year status with 123,000 miles on it, to me, a business decision I end, I would not be approving, and I will not be voting for this. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. The discussion happened in the committee, and I just want to give you a scenario. Many people question why fire trucks, rescues, or I should say pumpers even, are sent to houses the same time or before rescues are sent. And one of the reasons is because if all the rescues are occupied, at least the pumper can go to the house and address the medical situation. But I just don't feel comfortable telling someone that if all the rescues are occupied and we're down a pumper and we can't send that it was a business decision. So I'm going to support this because the now pumpers are going for $800,000 to $1 million a piece. It's a perfectly good vehicle done by the inspection. And I think that this is a wise and smart move to go ahead and good looks by the chief, because it could be so easy to sit there and say, hey, as the accusations flew earlier, we got all this ARPA money, let's just spend it. They thought of a good way to keep a vehicle in use. And I know that a lot of discussions in this chamber happened as PMCS of your vehicles and taking care in the longevity of our city vehicles. And it seems that's what's being attempted here. So I respectfully request favorable action. Thank you.
Thank you. So it's been moved and seconded. The clerk will call a roll for favorable action as amended. Yes.
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 No.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Motion passes as amended. Councilman Howe, I believe there's a second item that has been removed from the consent calendar.
Yes, Mr. President. Formal bid 2025, I'm sorry, 218, purchase of various police vehicles is now PCR 9624, and the committee voted favorable action.
Okay, and Councilman Lattiser, did you ask for a PCR on this?
I did.
Councilman Lattiser.
So I will not be voting in support of this either, not because I disagree with the purchasing of three vehicles. I disagree with the vehicles being, I think, significantly more than what is necessary to accommodate the police department's needs, such as a $46,000 Grand Cherokee when they could be using a lesser vehicle that's $6,000 or even more savings to the taxpayers and still get the three vehicles that they need. So for that reason, because of, I think, issue of the types of vehicles and the cost of those vehicles, I think it's unnecessary. I think it could have been done in a more reasonable manner. So I will be voting no.
Thank you. And I jumped the gun going to Councilman Lattiser. We need a motion. You said favorable action.
Move favorable action on PCR 96.
And second by Councilman Foley.
24.
Sorry about that.
Did I get ahead of myself?
Yeah, no, I did. I called on you before I got the motion.
Thank you for the condolence. Thank you.
Councilman Gephardt.
When I first looked at this one, that the different vehicles jumped out at me, but it was described that these vehicles are for purposes that are covert in nature. And so I would say there's business purpose for why we have the variance in vehicles. And so I will support this one. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action. Yes.
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 No.
Yes.
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 Thank you. Motion passes. Next up, if you're following us on the agenda, unfinished business. We've already done PCO 8-24. So now we're moving to new business. There is none. Now we move to unanimous consent. Ward 1, anything to dock it under unanimous consent? Ward 2?
Pass.
Ward 3?
Pass.
Ward 4?
Pass.
Ward 5?
Pass.
Ward 6?
Pass.
Ward 7 passes. Ward 8?
Pass.
Ward 9? Councilwoman Travis.
If there be no further business of this honorable body, I move to a docket session.
All those in favor to move into docket session, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? We are now in the docket session. I have two items to docket. First up is neighborhood ARPA projects. Finance. And second is an ominous withdrawal resolution. Intergovernmental. Ward 1, anything to docket this evening? Ward 2?
Pass.
Ward 3?
Pass.
Ward 4?
Pass.
Ward 5?
Pass.
Ward 6?
Pass.
Ward 8?
1, a resolution regarding request for an investigation to protect the health and safety and welfare for residents of and around Fashion Drive.
Intergovernmental. Ward 9?
Pass.
Thank you very much. We are adjourned.